that Huxley did so much to popularize and defend. Living things display inheritable variations, some helpful and some not. But it is the organisms that happen to carry helpful variations that tend to survive and pass these characteristics on to their offspring. But why are there variations? And why are they inheritable? This was finally explained in the 1950s in terms of the structure of a very large molecule, DNA, that serves as a template for assembling proteins out of amino acids. The DNA molecule forms a double helix that stores genetic information in a code based on the sequence of chemical units along the two strands of the helix. Genetic information is propagated when the double helix splits, and each of its two strands assembles a copy of itself. Inheritable variations occur when some accident disturbs the chemical units making up the strands of the helix. Once down to the level of chemistry, the rest is relatively easy. True, DNA is too complicated to allow us to use the equations of quantum mechanics to work out its structure, but the structure is understood well enough through the ordinary rules of chemistry, and no one doubts that with a large enough computer we could in principle explain all the properties of DNA by solving the equations of quantum mechanics for electrons and the nuclei of a few common elements whose properties are explained in turn by the Standard Model. So again, we find ourselves at the same point of convergence of our arrows of explanation. I have papered over an important difference between biology and the physical sciences, the element of history. If by chalk we mean the material of the White Cliffs of Dover, or the thing in Huxley's hand, then the statement that chalk is 40% calcium, 12% carbon, and 48% oxygen must find its explanation in a mixture of the universal and the historical, including accidents that occurred in the history of our planet or in the life of Thomas Huxley. The propositions that we can hope to explain in terms of the final laws of nature are those about universals. One such universal is the statement that, at sufficiently low temperatures and pressures, there exists a chemical compound consisting of precisely these proportions of calcium, carbon, and oxygen. We think that such statements are true everywhere in the universe and throughout all time. In the same way, we can make universal propositions about the properties of DNA, but the fact that there are living creatures on Earth that use DNA to pass on random variations from one generation to the next depends on certain historical accidents. There is a planet like the Earth. Life and genetics somehow got started, and a long time has been available for evolution to do its work. Biology is not unique in involving this element of history. The same is true in many other sciences, such as geology and astronomy.